the opportunity to preach the gospel again this morning. We live in a world today with many influences and spirits. And some of those spirits we understand, and some of those spirits and influences we don't understand as well. But they are nevertheless spirits that affect and influence us. And this morning we are running a race, the race of our lives. And it's going to culminate in a meeting with God the Father, our judge, and we're going to be judged at the end of time. And I want to make my calling and election sure, don't you? It's going to mean everything. And with all of the things in the world today that are pulling and drawing for our attention and our hearts, it's important for us to know what it is we're following and who it is that's leading us. And that's the burden that I have this morning, and I desire an interest in your prayers. I want to be led of the Spirit today. I'd like to read in the 8th chapter of Romans, and we'll read Romans 8, 1, 5, 6, 8, 13, and 14. We won't read the whole chapter. It said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." 5th verse, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." 13th verse, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Whether we recognize it or not this morning, all of us are being led by one of two categories of spirits. The spirits that are of God, or spirits that are not of God. It's one of two categories. And the converse of the 14th verse is also true. And that would be, as many as are not led by the Spirit of God, they are not the sons of God. And so a very important question for us to understand the answer to is, who is leading us? What are we following? Who are we following? What does it mean to be led? And I've written a few things down here. Being led means to yield position, yield opinion, yield preference, perhaps yield authority to someone or something else. And then often what happens is, whatever we yield our position or opinion or preference or authority to, that begins to define who we are in life. Being led also means following something or someone to the exclusion of something else. That's what it means to be led. And I can choose to follow Brother Michael and Brother Dan if that's what I want to do. I can choose to follow both of them, and it will work really well until one of them takes a right turn and the other one keeps going straight. It'll work really well until that happens. But when that happens, I have to make a choice on which one of them I'm going to follow. And it may be that I want to follow both of them. But if one goes one way and one goes the other way, then I have a choice that I have to make. And I have found that in life, we face a lot of circumstances sometimes where we don't like to have to make that decision. Have you ever been there? Well, if you've lived life, you have. You would rather not have to decide, shall I turn left or go straight? And sometimes the decisions are difficult enough that we choose to put off making the decision and tell ourselves, it's not necessary for me to make a decision right now. That is a decision. You just made a decision. And so it's really important that if you're going to delay making a decision, that you choose to follow a conservative, safe, godly decision and route while you're deciding what it is you're going to go after. There are many who try to follow after things at the same time that are mutually exclusive from each other. In other words, it's like oil and water mixing. People try and want to be able to follow after things that don't go together. And they would rather not say, I'm following A and not following B. They would rather not have to do that. You know, it's kind of like sometimes many... I'll say it this way. Sometimes, you know, if you're on a diet and you want to lose weight, and you're on Weight Watchers, it's kind of like drinking the shakes by day and going with the hamburgers and fries by night. They don't go together. And usually the hamburgers and fries carry the day. They'll usually be the ones that end up having the influence and the effect over you. And so if you're going to make a decision and you'd rather not decide, make sure that whatever it is you're doing is something that you can be comfortable with in the meantime while you're looking to the Lord to make a decision. And I want to say something here. I want to pause for a minute and say this. As much as we may not like this, as much as we may not like to come to grips with this, you aren't the leader of yourself. I'm not the leader of myself. We like to think that we're the ones that's deciding everything. Well, you are the one that are given the decision rights on who it is you're going to follow. But you're not the leader. You never are. You're following after things that have already been there for a long time. You didn't come up with them. And so we make the decision on whether or not we're going to follow after something that is of God or is not of God. But we're not the ones that are making the decision on that we're the leader. We're just making the decision on which one we're going to follow. But you're not the leader. Some people are led by impulse. You ever met people like that? They're kind of exciting people to be around. You know, where they just make decisions impulse. Sometimes they're not good people to be around. Other people are led by the whoever's the loudest voice in the room. You can kind of count on sometimes people will that's who they're going to follow. Whatever public opinion is, whatever it looks like the easiest route is. And sometimes there are people who have a pretty well thought out decision-making framework that they follow after, but a lot of times it's informed by the points of view of somebody else that went before them. Sometimes I feel like the Lord gets the blame for a lot of leadings. Have you ever heard people say, well, I feel really led to do this or that? Ever heard people say that? It's good to be led as long as you're led by the Spirit. But did you know that if you are not filled with the Spirit of God and you're not keenly associated and tied with the Holy Ghost, there is another spirit out in the world that also can help you feel strongly led to do something. And that spirit is perfectly content to be disguised as a spirit of light. Perfectly content to be disguised as a spirit of light when it's not. Does that give you pause? It does. It does mean, the Scripture says, that the Lord led His disciples to a mountain high apart. And in fact, I think the Lord removed Himself to places like that often. Why? Because it's so important to move ourselves to a place apart from all the voices and all the impulses and all of the public opinion and the 24/7 news cycle and all of the things that we have to look to. The Lord was so wise in removing Himself to a mountain high apart from all of it. Folks, may God help us to give the Lord space and to give Him room to lead us and to guide us. If you don't do anything and you just allow whatever is going to happen, your life will be consumed by all of the things that the world has to offer you. We have a plate that's only so big, and the world has a whole lot more than can fit on that plate. Many of them that are not sin in of themselves. But the enemy is happy to fill us up to the place that we are not able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then we can be led and feel led. Feel a strong urge that this is the way that I should go, and it's not the Lord speaking to you. Because you haven't given the Lord space and room and time in your life to lead and guide you. And folks, this is so important. Eternity is a long time. All of us are going to face the Lord. We heard last night that the Lord, He has a catalog of who we are. He knows the decisions that we make. He has a record of all of the times that we came to a fork in the road. And He knows when I went right and when I went left. He knows when I gave Him space and time to understand what it is that He wanted me to do. And He knows if I availed myself of that. He knows if I give myself to really understanding the leadings of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to make a difference in our lives. I fear sometimes we live life too casually. We just let things come. We just live according to the influences that are around us. And there is a spirit in the world today that is doing everything it can to get us to go off course. And the only way for us to make it home safely is to turn our attention to the Lord. And to give the Lord time and space in our lives, in a very busy world. It's going to require a deliberate decision on our part if we're going to do that. The Scripture tells us in the 14th chapter of John that the Lord will send His Spirit to lead and to guide us, to be our comforter, to bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever things I've said unto you. The Lord had a beautiful plan where He would send His Spirit so that we would know, so that we could hear that voice that says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." That we could look down and see a lamp and a light in our path, and that the Word of the Lord would agree with that light and it would register with our spirits, and the Lord would be there saying, "This is the way, my child, follow after this way." That was the Lord's intent. That's His purpose. We read verse 9, but it said, "But if ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." So the question this morning is, who are you following? Who's leading you? Can you answer that question today? Are you sure? John was so good to exhort us in 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. He said, "Believe not every spirit." Remember that? Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everything that appeals to you. Don't believe everything, all of the directions that you feel led to take. Because there's other spirits out there. Because He said many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's a lot of false prophets out there that are disguised as prophets of light. And they can mix in a lot of truth and a lot of things that are consistent with the Word and then slip something in there designed to get you off track subtly. So the Scripture says, don't believe every spirit. But try the Spirit. Try the Spirit to see if it's of God. Did you know that sometimes it happens the other direction too. Sometimes the Lord puts things in our path that are difficult and we're resisting the devil. We're trying to get the devil out and get our lives fixed, and it's the Lord trying to get our attention. But sometimes we turn away from the very things that the Lord's trying to get our attention with because we're not aligned with the perfect, precious will of God for us in life. Sometimes people say, well, this is a thing that is just neutral. Have you ever heard that one? The Lord doesn't really care whether I do this or whether I do that. It's neutral in nature. And I think that there are things in life that are neutral. That as long as our heart's right, the Lord doesn't care if I wear blue jeans or green jeans. I might fit in better with blue jeans. But it's not necessarily wrong if I do that. But I also think there are other things that if you were to take away that thing of neutrality in your life, you'll find out just how neutral it is. It's not neutral at all. Your heart is given to it. I remember a guy that I was in the gym with when I was in high school, and he used to try to get me to come to the high school parties, and he'd say, look, Rod, I'll bring milk. I'll bring milk for you, and you can drink milk. And I appreciated the fact that he was concerned about me and was going to bring milk, but he used to tell me, he'd say, Rod, it's not that I'm addicted, I just like the taste of it. Well, what he didn't realize was that he was probably a whole lot more addicted than what he thought. It wasn't a thing of neutrality for him. He wanted to believe that it was, but that's not what it was. Paul said in the 12th chapter of Romans in the 2nd verse, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. That acceptable, perfect will of God. And I want to say this morning that you will continue to be a conformist until you're transformed. Until you have an experience of transformation led by the Spirit of God, you're going to be a conformist to the world. And no matter how much you want to preach, teach, convince yourself that you're not a conformist, until you're transformed by the Holy Spirit, you'll be a conformist. Paul also said in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, he said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that is set before us. You remember the next parts? Looking unto Jesus. Who are you looking to today? We have a lot of people in the congregation today, and we're looking to so many things. Do you know that the world has so many things to offer us to look to? The world has a solution for everything, they think. Whether it is entertainment, whether it is our soul, whatever it is, the world has something to put in front of us to look to. May God help us this morning to give time and space to look to Jesus. Amen. Who are you looking to today? Do you know that it takes intellectual honesty for us to really be honest with ourselves and say, Lord, who am I looking to? What What am I following after? Lord, what is it that's informing the decisions of my life? Lord, am I really getting down humble before the cross to understand what it is that You want me to do? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus today is worthy of your love. Jesus is worthy of your devotion. Jesus Christ is worthy for you to look to. He is the one who has paid such a price and is going to stand at the right hand of the Father and say, Father, this is one of my children. My blood, Lord, I want my blood to cover one of my children here. And the Scripture said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. What joy was He talking about? Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. What joy was He talking about? He was talking about the joy that He would receive by having a personal relationship with you. By snatching a people that were laden in sin, that had nothing to offer Jesus Christ, had nothing to deserve putting their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lord saw an opportunity to pay the price for a people that would come to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, would You forgive me? And He saw the cross as an avenue. The joy that would be there on the other side of the cross. And so the Lord went through the cross, thank the Lord. He went through the cross that He might experience the joy of a personal relationship with you and that you might experience that joy. And He didn't let the shame of it derail Him. The Scripture tells us that He went all the way through and the result is now that He is set down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. He is there making intercession for us because He loves us. And He cares about us. I want to declare unto you this morning without reservation that is Jesus Christ, is He worth worshiping? Is He worth being our leader? Is He worth looking to? Is He worth giving time and space? Is He worth stepping back sometimes when we have these decision points to make in our life? When the Spirit begins to deal with us and we begin to be convicted about something in our lives and we're not exactly comfortable with them and maybe we feel a spiritual emptiness in our hearts and in our lives. Have you ever felt that before? Is Jesus, though, is He worthy to look to? The answer is absolutely He's worthy to look to. May God help us have Him be our leader. It's okay to stand alone. It's okay to take a conservative route while you're deciding and having prayer before the Lord. It's okay to do that. I would rather come before the Lord having been too careful than saying, well, Lord, I was praying about it. And He said, well, what were you doing while you were praying? Well, I was continuing straight on. God is worthy of us bowing down at His cross. He is worthy of us exercising some self-denial in our lives. The Lord is worthy of that and we will not be disappointed if we bow down, if we look to Him as our God, not a God of gods. The Lord isn't interested in us having Him as a God and this thing as a God and this thing over here that we worship and follow after. The world is presenting to us all manner of things that are gods to us. They don't call them gods, but they're gods to us. Things that consume our time and our energy, things that we look at with our eyes and listen to with our ears, and the hours just roll by while we look and participate, and all the while the Lord is over here, and we're not looking to Him to meet our needs. You won't be disappointed today, folks, to turn your eyes unto Jesus, to give Him time and to give Him space and to say, Lord, help me understand the way that I'm going. Lord, examine me. Try my heart. Lord, try the reins. Lord, help me to understand, is this consistent with a godly life? And then come before the Lord. Come before the Lord with humility and supplication and bow at the cross. Do we do that? Are we comfortable today with the time and space that we're given the Lord? What are we looking to today? What do we look to for satisfaction? What do we look to fill up our time? What are our goals and objectives in life? Have we gone to the Lord and say, Lord, are you pleased with this? Lord, is this something that I can say, holiness unto the Lord? Are you open to the Lord to go into the rooms of your life that you would rather not anybody see and go into? Did you know that those areas, the Lord wants to go in there with you? The Lord wants to go in there because He wants to help us. He wants to open your eyes. He wants to give you victory that you haven't had before. He's not a God. We heard last night, He's not a God that's going to say, why don't we go in this room and then walk in and say, wow, you are in a lot of trouble. I don't know what you're going to do with this problem. You look like you've got a serious problem. Let me know when you get it taken care of. That's not the Jesus that we serve. We serve a God who wants to come in and knock at our heart's door. He wants to say, let me come in and let me go into these places in your life that maybe you haven't given me the time and you haven't given me the space, and maybe you felt like this was the only way that you could possibly go. Have you ever felt that before? Where you just almost put out of mind the other option because you felt like it was too big of a mountain to climb. And so you just kept on going and said, I just can't do that. The Lord would like to talk with you about that. The Lord would like to go into that room and sit down and show you some grace that He has that maybe you haven't experienced before. Jesus Christ is willing to look to, regardless of what position you are in life, regardless of the sins that you've committed, regardless of how unworthy you feel, Jesus Christ came to this world for the unrighteous, not the righteous. He came to bring a gospel message of salvation to those that need help. And folks, all of us here this morning, we need help. We need help. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And there is a spirit in the world that is doing everything it can to capture your attention and to capture your time and to get you to look another direction when the Holy Spirit is saying, come this way. This is the way of life. One of these days, our name is going to be called. Your name's going to be called and it's going to be it. You're not going to have any chances anymore to decide whether to go right or left or go straight or turn around and go backwards. It's going to be done. That's going to be it. And today the Lord gives us time and He gives us opportunity, and He comes in His mercy. He speaks to our hearts and He reaches down in His love to deal with us in those places that we would rather not address because they're difficult, because they've been a burden to us and we're ashamed of them. And yet we serve the same God that said, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you either. I have an answer for this. I have forgiveness for you. I have an answer for tomorrow. It's called grace. And I want you to be a participant of it. That's the God that we serve. Don't listen to the enemy that says, no, you need to look to other things. The Lord's got a hard taskmaster. Oh, that'll just ruin your life. Don't get sanctified. That takes it too far. That's the voice of the enemy. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit this morning, the Lord wants us to be filled with His Spirit. He wants our eyes to be anointed with eye salve that we might see. He wants us to have His Spirit living within us so that we might discern between what is right and what is not right. And He is a faithful God to come and call every one of your names today. If you feel like your name hasn't been called, listen again. The Lord's there knocking at your door if you'll listen. And He wants to come in. And He wants to be the God that you look to. He wants to be the God that you're willing to follow. He wants to be the God where He can say, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. The Lord has never experienced defeat. He's never tasted defeat before. He is a God to follow. He is a God that will take you to victory. He is a God that will pick up the pieces and knows how to put them back together again. When pieces are missing, He knows how to grab the piece that was missing and make us whole again. That is the Lord God that we serve. That is the God who came down to call every one of your names this morning. If you're discouraged, look up to Jesus. If you feel burdened down, look around and say, where are my accusers? If Jesus Christ is here, He's the answer. And He can take us to places that we haven't been before. This is the Christ that walked on water. This is the Christ that raised up the dead that were once alive and they were dead. And the people said, if you only would have come earlier, then maybe you could have done something. But Jesus Christ was not limited by death. Sometimes we feel like we have died out to something in our lives. We feel like there's no hope anymore in this particular area of our life. But Jesus Christ came to bring hope, and He came to bring deliverance to pick us up in those places where we have died out. And we've looked to other spirits that are in the world that are saying there's no hope. You're done. It's the gospel message for everyone else but you. That's a lie of the enemy. Jesus Christ came to say, look to me. Come unto me if you're heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. I'll help you walk through those hard places of life. Thank the Lord. It's open for everybody today. The enemy is so ready to come and say, it's for everyone but you. And I want to repeat that again. The gospel is for you. The grace of God is for you. The hope of eternal life is for you. And it can be reality if you're willing to look up to Jesus and get your eyes off of all of the reasons. Get your eyes off the reasons and look to Jesus Christ. He is the one reason to give us hope of life eternal. And I want to say something else. This Scripture started out saying, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. There are people who have gone before us that have lived this way, that have made it across the finish line successfully and with salvation. And they're sitting up there in heavenly places and they're looking down and they're cheering us along. And they're saying, oh, don't look away from Jesus Christ. Don't listen to those other voices. It's okay to run alone for a while if that's how you feel. But keep running all the way to the end. Get up. Be encouraged. Let loose of the sins that easily beset you. Let loose of the weights that are dragging you down. And look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. That is the Christ that came and called every one of us by name. He didn't call and say, whoever is in the LaRonda congregation, but He comes down and He speaks our name so gently and with such love, so personal. And He came that we might get to know Him and have a personal relationship. The enemy says you got to get all this cleaned up and you have to live a sin-free life before you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then people go through life despondent and depressed. Jesus Christ came to help you walk that journey. Jesus Christ came that He might take your hand in His and walk through some of those difficult places. Give you strength where before you didn't have strength. That our trust and our confidence begins to go to Him and not in ourselves. We look inward too much. We look to ourselves to, well, I don't think I can do this. And so now, you're right, you probably can't do it. Thank God for that revelation. The quicker we can get to that, I can't do this. I need help. And the Lord's saying, thank the Lord that you just figured that out. I'm the answer now. Look to me. And there's a whole host of witnesses. I like to think that in my mind, that are there, that are looking down on us and they're saying, you can do this and it's worth it. Don't give up. Go all the way to the end. And if you have fallen, and if you are bleeding, and if you are hurt, and if you're just watching everybody else go by and the enemy saying, sure is a good plan for them, but it doesn't apply to you, regardless of why you're laying down, Jesus Christ came to pick you up. He came to pick you up and give you life. He came to bring His Holy Spirit that He could live in you as a temple that the Holy Spirit was pleased to dwell in. Thank the Lord. There's hope. The salvation message that Jesus Christ bring was a message of hope that extends to every one of us. But our responsibility today is to look to Jesus. Are we looking to Jesus today? Have you been looking to Jesus Christ? Or perhaps have you been looking other places? Maybe inward too much? Maybe listening to the voices in the world that clamor for our attention? I want to do what the prophet Jeremiah said in Lamentations, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. I want to pant after the brook as the hart, as the psalmist said. And today if I feel weighted down in some area of my life and experience or feel some spiritual emptiness, Jesus is the answer. Just turn your eyes to Jesus. The Lord this morning wants us to look inward and examine our ways. Not just say, Lord, I want to follow You, I want to serve You, and then go on our way. But begin to lay out before yourself, before your own eyes, here is what my life looks like. Here is the conduct of my life. Here is the time and the space that I give to these things. And then be honest with yourself and look to the Lord and say, Lord, am I looking to You? Am I following after You in all of these areas? This morning, this is serious business with serious consequences. And today, I want to look to and be led by the Spirit of God because I want to be a son of God. Pray for me. I want to be true.